Okay, so there is a rule that appears in several places in Shas, the primary sugyas being in Sukkah and being in Menachot, but I'm going to go out of order because of, well, whatever, I'm going to start with Sukkah, even though we're learning Menachot in Morning Seder, but I'll start with Sukkah. I mean, it's a principle known as Taaseh V'lo Min HaAsui. What is the principle of Taaseh V'lo Min HaAsui?
That you must make
it actively. You can't have it. You can't like make it by taking away something.
Correct. Meaning you have to, under certain circumstances, there are mitzvot, which you're where you're obligated to create the chefta shel mitzvah, not just have it created de facto.
Coincidentally.
What?
Coincidentally.
Yeah. Coincidentally, sure. That is the broad strokes, but as we'll see, right? The sugyot in Menachot deal with this in the context of, not surprisingly, tzitzit and mezuzah, right? So by mezuzah, for example, you can't put up a mezuzah and then build the doorway and the house around it, right? You can't. That's the Gemara in Lamed Gimel. By tzitzis, there are, as we'll see, several sub-sugyas, and that's why I pushed that to the side. Right? I gave you Lamed Gimel, Mem, Mem Aleph, and Mem Beis, which all deal with possible cases of Taaseh V'lo Min HaAsui by tzitzis. The Gemara in Sukkah obviously deals with it by as you would expect, by Sukkah, thank you. The question that the Mefarshim really struggle with is, what is this rule? When does it apply? What types of mitzvot does it apply to? And how exactly do we define this principle? So that's what we're going to try to get at. So let's start, though, with the Gemara in Daf Yud Aleph. And yes, it is like a blot of Gemara, but it's also a blot of Gemara you did in Bekiah, so I felt less bad giving you large swaths of Gemara. Not that I ever feel bad about giving you large swaths of Gemara, but I felt less bad
so
than I...
Much.
What?
You apologize so much for your shir.
What?
You apologize so much for your shir.
Oh, okay. Wow, well, I'm pretending that I feel bad. I don't really.
I'm like, come on, Rafi, go. Just let them suffer.
You know, well, it's only because Gavi actually complained to me and said, "Really, is this all Daf of Gemara?" And the answer is yes.
I did not say it because I was complaining. I was just confirming that I was not misunderstanding what you were asking us to
look. If I was a professor in university, I'd be that professor who said, "Okay, you know, over the weekend, I want you to read these three books." You know, that's who I would be. I would be that person. Those are the classes I took. You know, those are the classes I took. They were great. What?
I was just about to say.
I'd miss you, Yeshua.
I'd read like one of them.
I'd read the other.
You know, now of course I wouldn't be quite as see. What Rav Shechter does to make sure that you've actually read everything that he gave you is in his Kol Bechinas, he asks questions, dafka, on the irrelevant parts of Tosfos, because, right, because it's very easy for someone to, like, get the cliff notes and, like, skim the Gemara and, like, figure out which Tosfosim are the main Tosfosim, but to actually make sure that you read everything, he gives, like, a bunch of questions on, like, the aside the Tosfos said that unless you're actually reading it, you won't know are there. Yeah, okay.
It works.
What?
It works.
I guess. I was never in his kollel, so I never actually took the Bechinas, but I remember people complaining about that particular point. Okay, but let's look at the Gemara. So the Gemara says, it's the Mishnah on Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, who wants to take it?
Oh, I should probably get my Gemara.
Yes, Yeshua. Yes, Yeshua. Okay, good. Who wants to take it? I see that Sean is eating cake. happy birthday, Gafi. What?
Happy birthday.
Sean can have his cake and eat it too.
Now you all realize, yes. Now someone listening
yesterday,
to the cheers is like, whose birthday was it? I want to wish them a happy birthday.
Yesterday because he wrote in his TQ name, Erev
B-Day Boy. Very nice. Okay, so Daf Yud Aleph. So who wants to take it from the Mishnah?
I got it.
Okay, good, Yosha. Let's go.
Yud Aleph from the Mishnah?
From the Mishnah.
Hadala aleha et hagefen ve'et hadalat ve'et hakisus ve'sikech agaba psua. So if you have draped over your sukkah grapevine or some other vine or gourd vine, and then you put tzchach on top of that, it's pasul. But if the actual kosher schach is greater than that of the vine, oshik tatzan kshera, or if you cut the vines, then it is kosher. Zeakla. Kol shehu mekabel tuma, anything that is mekabel tuma, ve'en gidulo min ha'aretz, and does not grow from the ground, ein mesachachin bo, you cannot use it as chach, v'chol davar she'en mekabel tuma, ve'gidulo min ha'aretz mesachachin bo. Right. Yativ Rav Yosef kamei de Rav Huna, v'yativ v'ka'amar o shek tzatzan kshira. Or if you cut the, so he was, Rabbi Yosef said to Rav Huna that, if you cut the vines and it's kosher, the Amar Rav tzarech linanea. Rav says that you need an additional step. You need to like shake it about or something.
So what is so? Let's first outline what we got. So the Gemara tells you first. There the primary purpose of this Mishnah is to teach you what rule. Thank you. Right. What's the primary purpose of the Mishnah? To teach which rule?
You can't have living.
Correct. To teach you what material can be used for schach. And the answer is it has to be something which is kabel tuma, it can't be attached to the ground, things like that.
No,
but in that context, the Gemara says that if you take this living material and you put it on top of the sukkah, and then you, so there are two ways that you could make it kasher. One is even if it's still attached to the ground, it's kasher as long as what? There's the majority of kasher schach on the sukkah. And then the second possibility is that you cut it. Now, why does cutting it help? So what does Rashi tell you? Right, so he says you should cut it. And it's kasher, even though you might have thought that it would be pasul. Why would it be pasul?
Because
so he doesn't say that rule yet, but he explains it in the Gemara. That's what he meant. So if you look at the first Rashi in the Gemara, he says, Yosef, Rav Yosef Ika Amar, Hachi, Haditznan, Oshikitzan Kshera, when he said, if you cut it, it's kasher, Amar Rav Allah, Nihi Dein Sarach Lachzor Ulisotra Kula. You don't have to destroy everything, take it all apart. Aval Sarachu Lina'anea Ktsat, Otam shuzchu b'mechubar la'achar k'titatan t'dahavilu ach k'asiyah. You have to cut those which were there from when they were attached to make it an act of making the sukkah. D'ilo p'sula. Otherwise it would be invalid. Mishum ta'aseh v'lo mena asui. Because this would be a case of de facto making the sukkah, right? Meaning, when you put the schach on, it wasn't schach yet. And then you just cut it and magic! The sukkah is now.
I mean, but one could conceive of a case where, like, you know, you directed the vines to grow specifically like that.
Theoretically.
I mean, you would still have to cut it, but you wouldn't have to shake it, maybe?
Oh, good. So the Gemara has a machloket. What does it mean that you need to do? Do you need to cut it alone, or do you need to shake it? Right? So Rashi says. He continues, Dachi Mashma, Sukkot Taseh, Kshata Oseh Ota Tehe Ruya L'Sukkah, V'lo Mina Asui B'Psul. When you make it, it has to be proper, it has to be halachically permitted for a sukkah, and not from that which is made invalid, She'en Aroi L'Sukkah. V'ata Mitakno B'Tikun Mo'at, Ki Hayde Machshar Lo B'Ktsitsa, V'lo Hadar Satar La. And you can be Machshar it, though, with a little act, like cutting it, but shaking it is close to actually destroying it, right? To taking it apart, because it means that you pick each one up individually. Now, the poskim have a machloket whether he means that literally, like each one by one, or can you do it as a group? But whatever it is, so you have this machlokes. Now, what is the machlokes? So Rashi assumes that. Right, what's the machlokes? He assumes that according to both Shitot in the Gemara, what principle do they agree on? Taseh v'lo min asui. What's their machlokes? Right, they both agree.
What is the ma'isa?
Right, meaning they both agree of taseh v'lo min asui, meaning you can't simply have this sukkah made from pasul schach turn into a kosher sukkah because you cut it. Well, no, you can, but Unless you did some sort of action that would make this in asiya rather than it having been asui. Their machlokes is
what counts as an act.
What counts as an act? And he says, well, what is the machlokes? What is na'anua according to him?
To actually pick it up and put it back.
So that's physically what it is. And conceptually, how does Rashi understand na'anua? Correct. Right? Rashi thinks that if you hold you need na'anua, that means you think that this is so puzzle that the only way to validate it is to undo it and redo it from scratch, and he conceptualizes nanua as that, right? That shaking it, or as he puts it, picking it up stick by stick, branch by branch, right? This obviously doesn't work if you're thinking modern rolls of sach, but we're not talking rolls of sach. We're talking garbage. Right?
Vines that might be intertwined.
Well, remember, classic schach was made of psolet, right? Whatever was left over in the fields. Because remember, what time of year is circus?
Fall. Harvest.
Thank you. Fall. The harvest season.
Yeah.
There is plenty of garbage to go on the top of your sukkah, right? There's plenty. Remember that when you're going and spending, you know, a fortune on your bamboo mats of schach, right? That it should be really cheap, right? It should, so much so that the Gemara calls it
solid.
The Gemara calls sukkah a mitzvah kala. Why is it called kala?
Because it's cheap.
She'ain bo kiss. It doesn't cost you any money, right? It doesn't cost you any money.
Yeah, like branches falling all over you if we didn't do like the mats and stuff.
Mapito. Papito, cut hole. So that's your problem.
If you have a little piece,
they're also much cheaper here. They're much much cheaper here because there's much more of a market for it.
That's true. Yeah. Also, I think for most of us, it's kind of like a once in a lifetime purchase.
That is not true. They get moldy. Because they get wet, so they get moldy. Not here as much because it's not really the rainy season.
What's the bamboo mat? I had the same bamboo mat for a really long time.
Yeah, I think my family's had the same bamboo mat.
Yeah, my family has kept them the whole time.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, if they get wet, then we let them dry on a sunny day. And when they're dry,
that's the right way of doing it. Yeah. Well, one year in Staten Island that we used real branches. That was fun. That was because there was a hurricane like the day before Sukkot, and it shredded our mat. And my father was on his way to Brooklyn on Erev Sukkot, which you never ever want to do, to buy a new mat. And I said, like, we don't really have a choice unless we find like a cut up tree that we can use for schach. And then as like we pull off our block, one of our neighbors, like some, just like an Asian family decided they were doing gardening and literally had taken their entire tree and cut it into perfectly sized branches and just left it in front of their house. So that turned into our schach. And that was the one year we did really, really quite natural schach.
This year at our dorm, we had one mat, but our sukkah was a little bit bigger, so we needed two. And so for the other half of the sukkah, we used branches from the tree that was in our backyard.
There you go. Okay. So, but Rashi assumes that both Shitot in the Gemara maintain this principle of Tasav Lomina Asui. The Machlokes is simply
what is the Maisa?
Right, meaning how big of a Maisa do you have to do? Now that's an interesting machlokas. I mean, why would you have a machlokas like that? Right? What would be the logic behind a machlokas like that?
Well, I mean, because that's the nature of what the rule is. Tasa lo na'asu.
Okay.
I guess you need to have a machlokas of what the nature of that masa is, because that would determine whether or not it really is tasa or na'asu.
Well, let's. I mean, according to Rashi, they both agree. With Tasav and Asui, the question is, as a principle, right? The question is, well, which one are they arguing about here? Tase or Asui?
Asui. They're arguing about what is the Maisa.
Good. So, but you understand how even within this, you could have two. If you wanted to formulate the Machlokas, there are two ways you can understand Machlokas. Either the Machlokas is about the Asui or the Tase, meaning.
But they're the same thing. If it's not Tase, that means it's Mina Asui.
Meaning you could, no, because, well, there are really three ways you could do this, right? Meaning, One way of formulating the rule is you have to make it actively. Right? That's a proactive obligation. Right?
Okay.
The other way to say it is you can't have it be min ha'asui. Right? It's a negative. Right? It's a negative formulation, meaning it can't be that it was already made. Now, you could argue, no, not necessarily. Right? Because, think about it. If you think that in order for a sukkah to be kosher, you need to be halachically considered that you actively made it, so then are you more likely to require a higher standard for what counts as making it?
Than the other way? No, I think they're the same thing.
I'm not sure, right? Because
if you say there's other way, if you know that it can't be in any way, like, you know, pre-made for you, then you would...
So, I don't know. See, because, again, you can formulate the rule in one of two ways, right? One is that you need to make a sukkah actively. And therefore, if I didn't make a sukkah actively, right, it's puzzle. Not because it was made, but because it lacks in asiyah. The other is to say, no, there's a psul of asui, right? Of having it been passive. Now, you could argue that that's the machlokas here, right? That if you think, this is how I would do it, right? If you think that you actively have to make the sukkah, so then you might think you have to be minaneya. You actually have to pick each branch up and start it again, because then you made the sukkah. If you think it's just a problem for it to be completely passively made, then you just need to do some sort of symbolic act, which registers your participation, right? So when I cut it, it's still mostly made, but I did something, right? I did something, right? Like, you know, you have areas of halacha like this, like by Bishul Akum, right? Right, by Bishul Akum, the way we paskin, it's the Jew doesn't have to cook it to make it kosher. The Jew has to make sure that the non-Jew doesn't do all the cooking for it to be not kosher. Right? And therefore we paskin that you have to do, right, you could stir the pot, right, you could, right, meaning depending on how makel you are, right, if you know, like with the Ramah, where it's extremely makel, you can even throw in like a twig into the fire and add to the chol, right? So you could raise the heat on it, or the way Rav Heinemann says it, which is not as accepted by many poskim, but it's the Rav Heinemann of the Sarkei thinks that if a Jew installs the light bulb in the oven, which adds an infinitesimal amount of heat, then as long as that light bulb is running in the oven, a Jew never has to participate at all in the... Right? Meaning, it gets very symbolic very, 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 very quickly. That's not, by the way, what most kosher organizations rely on. What they rely on at this point, it's so easy, because with smartphones, it's a joke, right? Like, well, you just have the mashgiach, wherever he is, turn on the oven, right? He just presses a button and turns on the whole system, so it's quite easy.
So like a mat, let's say you had a mat full of twigs, right? And the mat, it is not necessarily made for stock, but it's not made for anything, right? And you just find this mat. So then that would be similar to cutting it, as opposed to...
You mean if you just found it on the sukkah? Or you found it and you put it... Are you asking about the...
Yeah, you just found
it. Oh, you just found it. You just found that it was there, right? Yeah. Someone had taken a
mat and just...
A bamboo mat, which was not Makabal Tumah, which...
Yeah,
fine. However you'd figure that out.
Yeah, and just left it there. Would that be...
It'd be the same problem, right? Yeah. Well, no, not... It depends how it got there, right? Meaning if...
Birds brought it there or like something...
Yeah, you have to figure it out. You have to come up with a case. But yes, it would be similar. So I think that's one way of understanding the machlokas. I think that's how Rashi understands it, something like this, right? Because he's saying, what's the machlokas? The machlokas is, do I have to do a maisa, or do I have to take it apart? Right? That's the way that Rashi formulates the machlokas. Now, you could have formulated it differently, and you could have said that the machlokas is not as... I'm having these like warm memories of like when I first started learning Gemara, right? You can always have, yes, from like back in Rambam days, right? Where you can have a machlokas, right? You always have to ask in a machlokas like this whether the machlokas is about what you need or what you have, Meaning, the way we just understood the machlokas is it's the machlokas in what you need. Meaning, everyone agrees that merely cutting it is just like a symbolic act, and na'anua is considered deconstructing, reconstructing. And the machlokas, what do you need? But you could also say the machlokas is about what you have, meaning maybe everybody agrees that you only need a symbolic act. And the question is, does ktsitsa even register as a symbolic act? Because you could say it doesn't, because ktsitsa is just a maisa of removing it from the tree. It's not a maisa that inheres in the sukkah. Or, alternatively, you could say, the machlokas is, do you need a symbolic act or a... is ktsitsa merely symbolic, or is ktsitsa more significant than that? Maybe you'd say no,
maybe
right?
I mean,
maybe it's about ktsitsa. Do you view ktsitsa as just a symbolic act, or maybe you say no? Mapitam, the guy climbed up to the tree, right? Made sure that Made sure that the dimensions of these vines were going to be perfect and cut it exactly the right place, right? Maybe that shita thinks that this is really. Right, a maisa gemara, right? So you always have to wonder whether what we're talking about is, again, whether it's was this a Rambam thing? I think this was a Rambam thing, that formulation. A machlokas is what do you have or what do you need? I definitely did that in Gush also, but I'm pretty sure that one was a Rambam because I'm having memories.
I'm more inclined towards the second machlokas.
Which rabbi?
Which, the one I just said.
Yeah, like the...
I'm not at all opposed to understanding the machlokas in that way. I'm not sure Rashi understands it that way. But I think Rabbeinu Chananel understands it that way. Right? I think Rabbeinu Chananel understands... Well, I'm not sure. Look at Rabbeinu Chananel. I wasn't going to do this, but you know what? If you wanted to. So look at... I really was trying to limit my sources. I really was. So I'm still somewhat doing it, okay?
There you go.
Hidla, so Rabbeinu Chananel says, Hidla love is a gefen, that's a lot. Yosef, Gamar Hadatanu, Oshia Katsan Kshera. Amar Rava love, it's Archlana, Anea Achar Shikitsitan. Klomar, Tsarech Mase Lashem Sukkah, Bishach Atzma. Actually, no, he definitely thinks it's a machlokes in. Well, let's see how he says it. Right, he says, what's the machlokes? Do you need a Maisa in the Sukkah? Or a maisa in the schach itself, or a maisa in the sukkah. So I'm really afun Shmuel Omer Tzarich Lana Aneya, Aval Pi Shechot Cham. Even though you cut it, Aval Rav Masha Afil Below Na Anua, the Kevan Shikitzitzo Votzio Mitoras Mechubarin Dayo. Well, okay, I would take it back. According to Rabbi Chananel. Does Rabbeinu Chananel mention Tasav Lama
Asui?
Not really. No, not really yet, right? Meaning it could be that for him, right? It sounds like according to Rabbeinu Chananel, right? What's the machlokes? According to Rabbeinu Chananel...
About the location of tzitza.
The pshita who holds that his tzitza sounds like he doesn't hold the Tasav Lama Asui problem at all. Either he doesn't hold the principle... Or he thinks this doesn't count as the principle. What does he think the only problem is?
How closely related to the actual sukkah it is.
No, Rav, who holds you only need ktsitsa. He thinks that there's no problem of tasav l'manasui. Right? Rashi thinks that both are modeh, that there's a rule of tasav l'manasui. The only question is what? How do you solve it? According to Rabbeinu Chananel, Rav doesn't think there's a problem of it at all. What does he think this Gemara is about?
It's about the rule of having it.
Of whether you need Tasav L'Nasui. Meaning, if you think you only need Ktsitsa, what does that prove? That either we don't hold of Tasav L'Nasui, or this isn't a problem of Tasav L'Nasui, and the only problem that you would potentially have is Mechubar. If it's attached, and therefore the reason he suffices with ktsitsa is not because ktsitsa is called a maisa. It's not called a maisa. What does ktsitsa do? It just removes it from being mechubar. It's no longer attached to the ground. So the machlokas here is, do you need a maisa or not? Meaning, one shita holds that they don't even believe in the rule of tasav l'manasui, or that this is a problem of it, and therefore the only problem that is being discussed in this gemara is mechubar, right? Remember that was the topic of the Mishnah, that which is mechubar, and therefore you only need ktsitsa. If you think you lean nanua, That's because, in addition, there's a problem of, I don't know, presumably Taseh, v'lo min ha'asui. So according to Rabbi Chanal, the machlokes is, do we even hold of such a principle? Right? Are we even talking about such a principle, Taseh, v'lo min ha'asui? Now again, if I really wanted to get into every possibility and every Rishon, we could do that. But at this point, right, you have two different formulations, right? You have Rashi who thinks that everyone agrees on the principle of Tasa Lo Min Ha'Asui. And the question is, what counts as the Maaser to remove that problem? Again, which I suggested maybe is about the question of whether you actually need an active Maisa, right, or just can't be passive. Rabbeinu Chananel thinks the Machlokes is, though he doesn't say the words, is it that this whole sugya is only about Mechubar, in which case all you need is Ksitza, or is it about something else, that there you need an Asiya, and if you need an Asiya, then everyone would agree. Meaning, according to him, everyone agrees that Ksitza is not a Maisa.
Right.
Right? Ktitza is just making sure that you're not now dealing with mechubar.
Mechubar meaning like attached to the
ground. Attached to the ground. Ktitza just removes everything attached to the ground. It's not a maisa. It just, the only problem according to that shita is that it is mechubar. But there's no other principle functioning here. The shita holds you need not a nua, thinks you need a maisa. Either tasa malasa or something else.
Can you have like a middle ground machlokas that says they both agree to toss it on the asoy, but it's still about but the machlokas is
good. So everyone seems to agree. So a middle way of saying machlokas would be that everyone agrees about toss of omen asoy. What's the question?
The question is, what's the
does this count? Is this a case of toss of omen asoy? Because what's the remember the Gemara here never explicitly says. Well, not yet introduced, rather. Tasa lo min ha'asui. What's the paradigmatic case of Tasa lo min ha'asui? Yeah. Right, achotei begadish. Now, the Gemara on Yud Aleph Amud Beis is going to introduce Tasa lo min ha'asui, so it could be that you'll have to say that maybe there's a machlokes in the sugya itself, or it changed between the early stages of the Gemara and the later stages of the Gemara, right? Meaning at this stage of the Gemara, right? There's been no introduction explicitly of Tasa Lo Min Ha'Asui. It gets introduced in Aleph and Beis, and Rashi already reads that into this part of the sugya, which is eminently plausible. Right? But you could say that no, maybe at this stage in the Gemara at least, you thought that maybe only Chotei Begadish is like that. Why? Because Chotei Begadish is completely passive. But maybe, like Yoshua said, maybe you could at least have entertained the possibility that the case of Hidla Lava Geffen is not Tasa Lo Min Ha'Asui. Why?
Grew it up there.
What?
You grew the vines.
You didn't grow them. Hidle.
Oh, you draped them.
You draped them. Right? Meaning, this wasn't a case of passivity. Right? It was active. It was just active while it was puzzle. Right? It was active while it was puzzle, but it was active. Right? So therefore, you wouldn't know necessarily. Right? And then you'd have to ask, well, what is... You know, maybe it's already good to start talking about this now. Again, we're going to go through the Gemara carefully, but I want to start talking about the theoretical models. But before we even look at inside, why would you think that this would be a case of Tasa Lo Min Ha'Asui?
Because you could say, even after it was draped, it was still puzzle. So
good, but what does that tell you? Right? If you think that it's Tasa Lo Min Ha'Asui...
So you weren't Tasa Kosher Scha.
Correct. You, in order to say that Tasa Lo Min Ha'Asui is true even when you did a Maisa, but the Maisa was Bipsul, what you have to conceptualize the rule as, and this is already, right, doing this theoretical work is going to help us as we go through the Sugya, it means that you've conceptualized the problem of Tasa Lo Min Ha'Asui, not that I need to do a Maisa, but that I need to create a Kasher Sukkah actively. But you could have entertained the possibility that Tasav Lo Min Ha'Asui doesn't mean that when the sukkah is created halachically, I need to be actively involved. It just means that I need to be involved in the building of the sukkah, bein b'hechsher, bein b'psul. Right? Now, if you wanted to formulate this differently, right, you could say that one way of focusing a Tasav Lo Min Ha'Asui is from the vantage point of the
Rabbi, I got a smile.
Right? What is what? Right? Meaning one way of saying this is, right, if we wanted to push it a little bit farther, you would say that one way of thinking about Tasav Loman Asui is that it's a din in the... What? So if you wanted to, you could. I don't know if I would want to. What? Right, but... Maybe meaning, if you wanted to throw out Chepsa Gavra, you could, because what could you say? You could say, the Machlok is here, is Tasav Loman Asui mean that the Gavra needs to at some point be involved?
Or is it
right? Or that the chetz of the sukkah
made kosher.
Right, has to be made kosher, right? You could do that. I don't know if I wanted to, because I hate, right? There's no reason to do that. But my point is, right, you could say that the machlokas here is, if we wanted to spell that out in words, is Tazav Loman Asui, does that mean, does that require involvement in the building of a sukkah? And then theoretically that could happen Bain Behechsher, Bain Bepsul. Right? Or does it mean that the moment at which a sukkah becomes a kosher sukkah, right, the person needs to be responsible for that? Right? It's not that he has to be involved in the building of the sukkah. He needs to be, right? He needs to be the one that makes the sukkah kosher. Right? That's what it is. Right? Not that he has to be involved in the building of the sukkah. He needs to be involved in the act of making the sukkah kosher. Again, we're going to see formulations to throw out. Let me cheat a little bit. Let me throw out of the case that's not in the Gemara, but is debated in the Poskim, that you'll understand how these types of models are going to be important. Right? The Poskim debate. You know. Now you know the conclusion already, la halacha. But I want you to see as we go through how you get there. There's a machloket rishonim, which according to the Beis Yosef, as to whether a sukkah becomes pasul when you put a tarp over it. Right? Because while the tarp is over the sukkah, obviously, it's pasul.
Yeah,
so some of the Rishonim said, but wait a second, that means that every time I put a tarp on the sukkah, it's pasul, and now I roll back...
It's
Tasav Loman Asui. Right? And other Poskim said, Mapitam.
No, it's
right? That's not Tasav.
Tomorrow they have cases like that. It's not that it's pasul, it's just that you can't eat under those spaces.
Correct. No. So, but the question is, when you roll it back...
Right. It was never a pasul sukkah. It just happens to be that you can't.
Good. That's how we paskin. That's how we paskin.
It also in the Gemara, I remember at some point.
So that's how we paskin. But there are shittos we've shown him that's Tasav Loman Asui. Right? Because now you're just rolling back the tarp.
But if the sukkah was never pasul.
So, but it was pasul. Good. But that, you understand that in order to figure out that machlokes, we're going to have to get at the formulations of Tasav Loman Asui. But at this stage in the Gemara, right, Rashi already introduces the principle of Tasav Loman Asui and says that the machlokes is whether you have to deconstruct it or you simply have to do a minimal maisa, which I would suggest is a machlokes as to whether the halacha is, right, you just need to, right, do something, or is it, right, is the problem that it was asui, in which case you just have to make sure that it, you know, right, you can't not be involved, or is it a chiv to create it, in which case you have to do something much more active. I know you could flip that, right? You could flip it on the which one is on asui and tasa if you wanted. So maybe I won't hang it on those words, right? But I think the machlokas really is. I mean, do you have to be involved, right? Or is it that you can't not be involved, right? Meaning it can't be completely passive. Again, however you want to exactly explain it. But again, at this stage, Rabbeinu Chananel doesn't think that's what's going on. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, the Shita who holds that you only need ktitza, thinks you need no maisa bichlal, all you need is to make it not mechubar, and the Shita holds you need nanua, holds you need a maisa for whatever reason. So now go back to the Gemara. So Amar Leir of Huna, Hashmuel Amra, Ahadrinner of Yosef Lape. But Shmuel had said, Rav Yosef responded angrily, V'amr lei, Adu mika imna lach, D'lo amra Shmuel amara, V'amr Shmuel, second, try that again. Oh, let me just check.
That's supposed to be
real. One second. Let me just check if he's... Just make sure they're not texting me. They are not. Someone remind me later. I do need to get numbers for this Mizrahi, the Karen event, the book launch. Remind me later, okay? Not the second. If you don't know what I'm talking about, still remind me, and I'll tell you what I'm talking about.
The numbers
in
the
middle.
For the...
How many people want to come, yeah, but not now. Okay, just remind me. Anyways, so the Gemara says, Arvinu Rav Yosef Lape, right? He, Rashi says, because. V'amar Lein, he said to him, Atum Mikaim Nalach. Dilo Amra Shmuel. Amr Abdi Amra Shmuel. Right, so he got angry at him. He said, did I say that Shmuel said it? And that Shmuel didn't say it? Rav and Shmuel said it. Okay, fine. So Amar Lein Rav Huna, Hachi Kaim Nalach. They know what I was telling you. Did Shmuel Amra Velo Rav? Right? I think that this was Shmuel's position, not Rav. Okay. The Rav Achshurei Machshir said, I think that it was the opposite, right? I think Dafka, right? It was Rav holds. This was already, I was explaining Gemara. I jumped ahead here. That Rav holds you don't need Nanu Alamaskana, the Gemara? And Shmuel holds you do. Right? So that's what the Gemara thinks it is, right? He got angry at him because he thought he flipped the names. And he said, Rav holds you only need Ktitsa, Shmuel holds you need Nanua. And then he connects it. Two, and this is where you start seeing the connections between the other Tosfos. And also, it says, "Kihader of Amram Chasida Ramatchelta Lifarzoma Dinshe Beite." Remember this, Sugya Gavi?
Yeah.
Right. That Rav Avram Chasida put Chelet on whose clothing?
The house's clothing.
Which is his wife. His wife. Right. And now we go into that sugya. Before we get into the Tzitzis Sugyo, and we're going to connect it. So look at the next Rashi. Rashi is Achshurei Machsher. Belona Anua Diksavar Ksitzasa Zuhi Gmar Asiyasa. So Rashi clearly holds that what's the machlokes about Ksitza? Remember, according to... Exactly, right? According to Rabbeinu Hananel, if you hold Ksitzas because you hold that it's just a problem with Chubar, it's not about mice at all. But Rashi, Lishitato, who thinks that even at this stage in the Gemara, it's clearly about Tasav Loman Asui, and that everyone is talking within Tasav Loman Asui, he says that why is Ksitza good? Because it is Gemara Siyasa. Ve'echidami Tasav Loman Asui, kegon achotit bikadish, lazlo suka. Meaning this Shita just holds that Tasav Loman Asui is only complete passivity, but any Maisa is going to be enough. Therefore, the only case of Tazal Masu is going to Chodid Begadish, Lazlo Sukosh, Asiko, Haya Me'i Love. Right? I mean, look at Rashi, is very precise. Rashi thinks that the Machokis is that everyone agrees that it's possible if it's done Me'i Love, right, by itself. The Shita holds, you just need Ktitza, holds, Ve'ino no Geba Lazlo Shum Maisa. Right? Rashi is pretty conceptually clear that the Machokis is, do you need to deconstruct it, or you just need to. Not do anything, right? That if it's you did nothing, it'd be possible. The where he said the case of chodid begadish, it's made, and then I take down one of the walls, and hey, there's a sukkah. But that's the problem. The nichlas la omko v'note la omrim u'mashlich v'asukah nases me'eleha. Right, I take away some of the walls, and pitom, it's made by itself. Tov nosea u'sichacha. But this guy cut it. Zeu Maiseh Shalah. That is the Maiseh Shenigmar Behechsher. In a Chanami, it wasn't made Behechsher. Right? So it's clear, I think, that according to Rashi, my analysis is right. That Rashi's saying, the Machlokes is, does it need to be completely made from beginning to end, or it can't not have participation? So he says, Nanua is the Halachic equivalent of Stira, is taking it apart and rebuilding. And Ktsitsa, the Shita holds Ktsitsa is good, just thinks that it's Shenigmar Behechsher.
I feel like everyone's looking down so much on Ktsitsa. If you look at it a little differently, you could say, wow, this sukkah was puzzle. And then I went out of my way and I did a masa that made it not
fine, but,
puzzle.
But I'm saying within Rashi, he just says, it's clear, right? I mean, Rashi is very, very clear conceptually here. He's right, because he says, the machlokes is, do I need stira, because I need to start from the beginning, or it needs to be Nigmar Behechsher. Right, I didn't make it behechsher. Right? He's very clear. I'm not making a bachelor. Ksita is not called making a bachelor. Right? Yeah, it's the bishulakum thing, right? It's not that the Jew has to cook it. It's just that the non-Jew can't be the only one cooking it. Right? So it can't only be made by itself. Okay. They're supposed to be in a few minutes, and I do want to make sure that they know where the, you know, that they get here. So let's stop here. What we've done now is we've transitioned into the next stage of the Gemara, where the Gemara already tells you, and this is where. Now, one of the reasons that you know that we're going to have to get into an overarching principle is because of this transition. Right, meaning, if you froze the Gemara here and never went further, that's when you can say something like what Rabbi Hananel says, that the machlok is about mechubar. The reason you're going to be pushed into saying that the whole sugya from beginning to end was always about tazav and manasui or some generic principle is because mechubar is only a psul in sukkah. And therefore, the machlok is, a parallel machlok is by tzitzis is very hard to fit in unless you think that the sugya is about a general principle that therefore can be shared among sugyas. Right? So Rashi already reading Tasol Manasui in before the Gemara has explicitly introduced it is because he assumes the whole sugya must be dealing with overarching principles. Again, for Ben Chananel, it may be that this is what that we begin to transition towards a different understanding at this stage in the Gemara. They're not necessarily, because as you'll see, Rabbeinu Chananel could also say, no, maybe it's not about Tasa Lanasa yet, it's just that Kitzitza in Sukkah is going to be conceptually equivalent to Psika, to cutting, by Tzitzis, not because of Tasa Lanasa, but simply because those are similar acts, and whatever it is they're accomplishing in each case is similar. But let's pause there. Yeah, look, it is going to be a lot of Gemara, but I've given you very, very, very minimal Rishonim on this. I told you, I think Tasa Malasi would take me a week. How much we get to do? We get to do, you know, Ray Ginsburg, sure, we'll go back to Ray Ginsburg on Sunday, and whatever we've covered, you'll understand. But at least it's Sukkah, so I didn't feel bad, because you already learned the Sukkah, so what you understand more better in Sukkah, you understand better in Sukkah. It's not like I'm throwing you in the middle of you know. Okay.